Welcome to From the Outside In. I'm your host, Debbie Penzone. This episode with Charles Penzone was recorded on location at our art studio in the original Charles Penzone Grand Salon in Dublin. In today's episode, you'll get inspired by one of the most creative people I know, my husband, Chuck. You'll walk away from this episode knowing it's never too late to pursue a passion or find a new hobby, especially during these times of challenge and change. Welcome back to the show, Chuck. It's always a fun day when our worlds collide and we get to work together again. You know, just being here in the Penzone Art Studio, I'm feeling so inspired as I look around. This has been a safe haven for both of us over the last 9 months.
It certainly has, Hal. It's been a great time here.
Yeah, and you've often mentioned that, you know, this art studio has been your silver lining from COVID. Tell our listeners what inspired you to create this space.
Well, we had it available because we had moved from the original Grand Salon, and this was the employee lounge, the training facility, the laundry facility, and we're coming back with corporate here, and we're going to be housed next to the new salon that we moved to after we vacated here. So we had the space available, and it's perfect for an art studio. We've got north light, we've got plenty of space, we've got the white walls, and it was a perfect environment to be able to do this. But, you know, it kind of happened just prior to COVID hitting. I mean, when we went to Florida in February of 2020. When we got there, I bought some canvas and paints, and we started to play with it, and it motivated me to come back and expand the studio here. And I've been spending about probably on the average 6 hours a day painting here. And it's just been an unbelievable gift that actually you and your team have given me. You guys have been managing things for quite a while now, and it's enabled me to just focus on this silver lining. It's something I've always wanted to do. I've collected art for 50 years, and actually 55 years. And, you know, it was just a natural segue for me to do something that I've always enjoyed.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, just even, you know, letting our listeners hear this, they might be thinking to themselves, yeah, so many people tried new hobbies and experimented and had time for things that they never would have taken time for unless that pause was put in our life. You know, I'm here physically right now with you, but give our listeners an audio tour of the place.
Well, as I mentioned, it was the lower level of the Grand Salon, which is about 5,000 square feet overall, and we used it for a really nice lounge for our team members. The laundry facility we have probably did as much laundry as most hotels in Columbus do. We had storage areas, and it was just 5,000 feet of things that we needed to keep the operation going. Then having left here to go into a brand new facility after 30 years of operation next door, I had the opportunity to take a great, great space that, you know, I've enjoyed unbelievably. But it's about the art part of it, the studio part of it is about 2,500 feet. And it's been great. I can come in and just, it's a safe haven. It keeps me sane. It keeps me safe. You know, with my COVID-19 profile, my age and underlying conditions, I have to be especially careful during this time. And it's been the relief for that.
Yeah, we've been so blessed to have this really cool creative space for you here. And it didn't take much, like you said. We were pretty much still using the building for our warehouse down here in this lower level. And I just think it has such a cool vibe now. You just really took it to that rawness, you know, of the concrete floors so that if paint gets on it, it doesn't matter. And all the walls just got a fresh coat of paint of white. And then you added some really cool, unique lights that I know will hopefully get some pictures for the listeners to be able to visualize. So really powerful and fun, creative lighting throughout the process to really be able to hang different pieces of art and really be able to showcase the art off here. Well, so it's a great visual tour to kind of explain, you know, kind of share that with the
listeners. Our listeners will be able to take a virtual tour soon because I'm going to have an Instagram page that will be called Charles Penzone Art, and on it there'll be pictures of the studio. There'll be photographs of the paintings. I formed an LLC. Charles Penzone Art will be selling from our personal collection that we've collected over 50 years. We have hundreds of paintings of local people, local artists that we've had in our locations, and then we put them in storage. And I'm looking really forward to having a new company to be able to sell not only my paintings, but works of other local people. I believe I have probably more local art collected than anyone in Central Ohio. I've enjoyed supporting the art community here for 52 years that we've owned the company. Yeah. And
because I think you love art so much and supporting those local artists, and with all of our different salons and locations that we've had in the past, you have such a great collection that you have, you know, that we even got to repurpose again. You know, you can't sell it because you love it so much. So I don't know if you'll ever be able to sell any of it, honey. I'm just saying you love every piece.
Yeah, I do.
It's hard for you to part with it. And a really cool thing with doing the new brand was that big surprise of going into your collection and being able to repurpose some of the art from the 70s and 80s.
Yes, yes.
The graffiti art that you just loved that came back around, and we surprised you and bringing them out into the location and being able to once again have that art live again and have people be able to see it.
You know, actually, you're the one for repurposing it. You went through and discovered a lot of the work that that fit in beautifully with our design today, and in particular, you fell in love with some work by Mark Carter. Mm-hmm. He was a local artist here in Columbus, and now lives in Alaska. And I had lost touch with him, and someone was framing one of my pictures that I had painted over one of his from the '80s. Was a friend of Mark's, and she connected us. Now, she said she contacted him and said, you know Charles Penzone? And he goes, yeah, he has 53 of my pictures. Wow. And I would do things like that in the 70s and 80s. I would collect whole collections of local artists. And he remembered exactly to each picture what I had of his. And we've been communicating for the last 4 or 5 months. And now we look at pictures of each other, and we each look a little different than we did in the 80s, early 80s.
Yes.
So, but it's fun to see the old work withstanding the test of time.
Being able to bring it back out and put it into a modern building with this new brand that, you know, was created. It was so special because it's that history and that being able to repurpose something that will always stand the test of time.
Yeah, it was a great experience working with Mark. But, you know, over the past, I mean, we have a lot of local artists. Mac Worthington, we have maybe 25 of his sculptures. Laura Joseph, we probably have that many of her works. And Yuris Kakis, we have 40-some pieces of his. These are local people that that I worked with closely in the 80s.
Yeah. You know, going back to that, you know, when did you first begin this passion of loving the arts?
Well, I bought my first piece when I was 19 or 20 years old, which is 55 years ago. And I bought it from Ivan Penwell, a friend of mine I grew up with, who's an incredible artist. Mm-hmm. And I still have the piece that's a bust of that he did as a student at CCAD. And we were together one night, and this was sitting in his apartment, and I said, I've got to have this piece. And so he sold it to me for $10.
Oh, gosh.
Which to a starving starving student at CCAD in the 70s, early 70s, $10 probably bought him food for a month. And
wow.
We're still in touch. He lives in Sonoma now, and you know, he's a dear friend, and another dear friend, Larry Snyder. We grew up together since the first grade, and he's you know, an incredible artist and a great inspiration to me. And he's retired and painting in Florida these days. So
a lot of these artists have become friends, and a great relationship that you've built with them is just so amazing to hear. And I'm sure now, when they see your art, they're probably just so proud of you to you know the love that you have for art. And now you are expressing it and doing it yourself.
Yeah, you do become friends. And I don't think there's such a thing as artist envy. I think artists or people who enjoy art, I don't consider myself an artist yet. I'm still learning every day and working hard to polish the craft. But I think people who appreciate and enjoy art and those who make a living at it enjoy the company of others that understand what it takes to sit down and be taken over by paint and canvas and design. And very similar to growing up in the beauty industry. I mean, I was taken over with each client by color and design and shape and composition. So, you know, my whole life has been doing something creative on a daily basis. And if I didn't have this right now, I don't know what I'd be doing, to be honest. It's been amazing. So
yeah,
it's been, like you said, it's the silver lining of this whole experience I've had.
Yeah, and I love hearing you compare it to our industry, right? Because you and I are both hair artists and grew up in this industry creating, and that creative right side of your brain that you, you know, had that passion and that love for design, texture, the color wheel, you know, shapes, I feel is a part of who we are because of that passion for our industry. I know when I'm in here in the studio getting to, you know, throw some paint on a canvas, I go right to that space where I did behind the chair, where it's that excitement of creating and that love of creating that just takes over. And you feel so blessed that you have that creativity.
Yeah,
you know,
which brings me to a point. I may have been a little short in saying there isn't artist envy, because I'm sitting here looking at one of your pictures about 10 or 12 feet from us. And I do envy somewhat your talent.
Oh.
And no, you really are gifted. And your understanding of the color wheel, I wish that I had that. I envy that maybe more than anything. You understand color as well as anyone I've ever known in our industry. And you bring it right into your painting, and that's kind of fun to watch you work. Sometimes I'll be in the middle of a picture and I'll stop and just watch you work in amazement. So,
well, I think we both have been blessed to have this space here to share.
I think it's worked for both of us.
Yeah.
It's been great.
And this love of creativity, which is so aligned with our life purpose of what we do every day in the salon and spas, and being inspired by our hair artists and even the, you know, our skin artists to look at some of the makeup that they do, you know, it comes back full circle.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I mean, there has been another silver lining to this COVID-19 issue. I mean, my typical day is to wake up with you and spend all day with you. I mean, we're together with the painting. I travel between the home and the studio, and I'm generally with you most of that day. So it hasn't been all wasted. And there have been a lot of learning experiences in addition to the painting that have come the way of the virus. And you know, I feel blessed and lucky that we've made it through this far.
I've had people also ask me about your training. When they see the pictures, we've hung a couple of them now, you know, reach out and say, you know, has he been trained? Did he take classes? You know, how did he learn how to do this? And what would be some advice or something that you could share with our listeners about how did you get started? How did you roll up your sleeves and get started just doing it?
Well, I think it began back when I bought that piece from Ivan. And I'd always been enamored with the aesthetic. And I really love and appreciate things that are beautiful. I love architecture. I love photography. I love the written word. I'm an English major, a literature major. And I love anything beautiful. And I've always been captivated by it. And so after the first piece, I just started buying things. I remember being on active duty in the Army, National Guard, and we would leave training and go on leave for a day or so. And we were stationed outside of Mexico. And I would go, and instead of hitting the bars and chugging tequila with my buddies, I would walk through the bazaars and the shopping areas of local artists, and I would buy local art from them while I was on active duty. I still have chess sets made of onyx and sculptures made of different materials indigenous to Mexico at the time, and I just kept collecting. And, you know, we've had wall space within our locations since 1969, and our customers enjoy the environment to look its best. So I've had plenty of space to be able to put the collection, and you can't, you know, they like to see change as well.
Yes, that's nice.
So we're constantly, refurbishing the artwork. So I began collecting.
Yeah.
And, you know, in addition to that, I mean, I have friends that are in the art world. Or, I mean, one of my close friends is one of the top collectors in the United States for contemporary art. And it's always been a part of my life. And
yeah.
I don't know if I could live without it. I think if, you know, when I think about my senses, that are, without a doubt, the visual sense for me is the driver in all of my senses. What I see is so important and critical to me. And I've been blessed with great vision, and I think it helps with the aesthetic.
Yeah, and I think,
you know, I know what good art is supposed to look like. I know art. However, there's a difference between being a bullfighter and understanding bullfighting. I mean, I have the eye for good art. However, the tactile discipline and, you know, my hands don't have the steadiness they did at one time. So achieving what I know is good art and putting it on canvas is the challenge. I know color, I know composition, but it doesn't always, the hands don't always do what your mind wants it to do at my age. So I have to probably work to exhaustion to get a picture the way that I really want it to look.
Yeah. And I guess coming back to that question that I asked of you, because I know I was there with you, and it was pretty enlightening to be able to share with our listeners. You started taking online art classes.
Oh,
so yeah. That is like kind of at the core of, you started rolling up your sleeves to experiment, but then you also explored, you know, these online classes that you could learn where before you never would have done that. But it was COVID times.
COVID,
so
yeah.
So everything was going online.
It was the driver, yeah.
Everything was going online. You didn't have to go anywhere, and you had all this time.
Well, you know, I discovered a site called Udemy, Udemy. And it does online teaching of so many different disciplines. I mm-hmm. mean, everything that you can take a course in,
uh-huh.
you can get through them. And I bet I've taken 20 courses online with them.
Uh-huh.
YouTube is another.
We love watching YouTube.
Another fabulous. I mean, you and I watch YouTube.
Hours just watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, their videos and trying to see how they're doing something or how they're mixing it up to get a really cool look on the canvas.
Yeah. And, you know, there's nothing you can't do today without, you know, the online.
What's your preferred medium and what's the style that you like to paint in?
Well, I prefer abstract art.
Okay.
For a couple of reasons. Number one, visually and aesthetically, I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It's extremely forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
At this stage of my life, it gives me a break. And I think today, abstract art is even more flexible than it's ever been. A lot of the courses I take, they tell you be free. You've got to hold the brush at the very end. Don't hold it like a pencil. You don't want it to look like it's too perfect.
Yeah, and I like that.
Which is a blessing for me because nothing I do is perfect.
No, and I think that's been so enlightening when you've shared some of the articles that you have read and seen about, you know what, you don't want the perfect painting. You don't want that perfect shape because in nature and in life, it's that asymmetric, you know, shape. Even us as people, you know, one side of our face is not the same as the other side, you know, understanding that perfect and the imperfect and not judging art. I love how you've come and shared articles where it's like, you know, there's no bad art or good art, you know, and not being afraid of trying to create this perfect masterpiece. Just really express how you're feeling and let the painting come to life.
Yeah, I think most art, you know, you talk about perfection, but no artist ever thinks his picture was perfect, I'm sure. I had a friend that was an opera aficionado and loved the opera. And I remember talking to him about an opera by Mozart called Don Giovanni. And at the end of the conversation, he said, yeah, it's really, really good. He said, but you have to love perfection. And he said, is that what opera is? Perfection? He said, you know, who wants to sit through perfection? And, you know, I think it's hard to find anything that's perfect. And that's been a blessing for me because nothing I do is perfect.
Well, and it is. It's finding that, you know, that balance of life because life is not perfect. You
right.
have good days and bad days, but you don't want to judge them as good days and bad days. You want to judge them as days that you've been blessed with, hours that you can enjoy and be here in that moment.
You know, as I was growing up, I mean, I loved at one time hunting. I loved fly fishing. I loved you know, a lot of things that took physical exercise and stuff. And the older I get, you know, I'm blessed too that in addition to those things, I love writing, I love reading, I love painting. And that worked in beautifully with the quarantine. But painting in a studio, I mean, I leave the house, I come to a studio, I'm alone all day. And it's really kept me feeling very safe and protected from the virus.
Yeah. And I think too, like this has been your workout too. I mean, seriously,
oh, yeah.
Like you have been, like you don't just sit down and paint. You're standing, you're moving, you're walking. They're big, huge canvases.
Oh, that weigh every bit of 3 pounds.
Oh, no, but you have lots of that. I think which has been great for you right now is you're always constantly moving.
Yeah.
You're not sitting on the couch watching TV. I mean, you get up and you come to the studio and you continue to move and be inspired and get your mind and your body moving. And it is important. It's so important to keep that passion and having a purpose every day of your life, which I love sharing your story because I think it's inspiring to others to find out what is that, you know, passion or that inspiration that you need to get you going every day and keep you moving, not just your body, but also your mind and your creativity. That spark is very exciting that I've seen you actually, you know, live through this year.
You know, I don't think I answered the question about the medium that I use.
Nope.
I mean, I like abstract art.
Abstract.
But I mostly use acrylics.
Okay.
And mixed media. I'll use just about anything that will add color to a canvas. But the base is always acrylic right now. And I'll probably eventually move to some oil painting as well.
But now
I'd like to play with sculpture too. I mean, mm-hmm. I think a design, you know, there are people that can, we have people here in Columbus that can manufacture pieces of sculpture. And I'm hoping, I keep encouraging you to do the same thing because I think you have a great sense of design. And I know a place on our property that would be perfect for one of your pieces of sculpture to put up. So maybe we'll get that done.
Yeah. But too, looking at this picture that's behind us right now, I see a lot of the pour painting that we've been doing lately, which is kind of fun, on the acrylic, as well as chalk, and also spray paint. What other mediums do you use here? You use a lot of the, was it Indian ink?
Yeah, I mean, there's just about everything that you can find on a painting is pretty much here. Yeah, I keep saying it, nothing's perfect. However, it seems that every picture that I finish, I say to myself, wow, that's the best thing you've done yet. And, you know, I've loved every picture I've done. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to end up in the Museum of Modern Art in New York or the Louvre in Paris, but I'm enjoying it and loving every picture I've done. And I've learned something about painting and about me from each picture.
Oh, yeah, because they mean something.
Yeah.
I'd love to, you know, share with our social following, you know, a few of your pieces have made it into our salons. And we've shared that on our social media with Penzone Salon and Spa. And I'd love for you to tell our listeners about, you know, what you have created and where it went when we put it up. I know the first
Well, we just put two up. We put two up in the new Dublin location yesterday.
And we'll get to
the one
that
we're sitting by will be going into the Short North soon. It's a triptych. It's 15 feet long and 3 feet high. And I love this picture. I just think it's going to be great in that location.
Yeah. Upper Arlington
has at least four pictures there that they were the first to get
your art.
Get our art.
And I think that came from some of our team members some of our art that we were and you were doing and said, gosh, we need some really cool pieces. We're ready for some new art here in our UA salon and would love to see if, you know, if Chuck could do one for us. And that was your first salon that we really hung up. And now we have four or five pieces there.
Yep.
And the one on social media that I love that we really got the whole, the hanging experience of the moment with you was at Polaris. And that was your first really big piece. How big is that? The piece in Polaris?
The piece in Polaris is pretty huge. It's five panels, and it's 6 feet high by 18 feet long, I think, 15 or 18 feet long. It's a very nice piece. It was one of the first pieces I did, and it took forever to put together. It probably took 3 months of working on it every day for 3 months.
Yeah.
And I love the piece, and it's met some good reviews.
And you put some special numbers or I think the story, I love to hear our team tell it when I'm in there getting in the manicure, pedicure room and a guest might ask about it. And to hear our team talk about it is really kind of cool how they explain.
Well, it's like, a very personal, very, very personal piece.
Yes.
The numbers on it are addresses of all the current locations throughout the painting.
Of the salons and spas.
Of the salons and spas. The address where I was raised. And my mother lived for 72 years. My mother and father lived there 72 years. It's got the year, you know, important dates to me. The year we met.
Uh-huh.
The year we were married. The address of our current home. The year we opened the first salon.
What was 69.
It? 1969, yeah. And, you know, just my kids' my kids' athletic numbers in high school and college, the years they were born.
So lots of numbers.
Well, it's a big piece.
Yeah, it's a big piece.
It's a very big
piece.
Yes. And the number one is on every panel somewhere. Mm-hmm. Because for 52 years, I think we've been the number one company of our kind. And according to all the voting in town and on the magazines and newspapers, yeah. we're still the best in Columbus. And I wanted to make that statement to our team there.
Yeah, because so. We're so proud that you know, 52 years.
52 years, still creating.
In our industry and
still
creating.
Reinventing yeah. our company on a daily basis.
And reinvesting in, you know, yeah. what it takes to stay at that level.
Yes. And I think that's critical, and that's why we're still here.
If you could give pointers to our listeners on how to explore and find new hobbies and passions, what would you say?
Well, you know, you find what you love and you just determine that you're going to figure out how to do it. It was made easy for me by you and our team and the circumstances that we had with the studio availability. But if we hadn't had that, I would have found a way to occupy my time and to be disciplined enough to focus. And I'm not generally like that in, you know, I'm a fairly spontaneous person. Like I was explaining to someone earlier today that I don't go into a painting with a plan or a vision. Mm-hmm. I basically just start emoting and putting shapes on the canvas and then the canvas takes over. However, I had a plan for how to get through this pandemic that we're in. And it may have come with age or maturity or you helping with that decision. Mm-hmm. But I would advise someone to just say, well, I've got this to do and I'm going to do it. And you just set out and but you've got to love what you're doing. You have to be in love with what it is that's going to keep you busy 6 to 8 hours a day and keep you safe, basically.
Yeah. And I guess exploring that, you know, how did you find that you love doing art and expressing your art and being able to paint? I know it probably wasn't easy at first. I think I can remember your first couple pieces.
Well, it can be frustrating.
I think they went in the trash can or I think, like, what am I doing? But I think finding the right medium to the right, like, was it acrylic? Was it, you know, what kind of paint? And then the right style, that's just you. And then I think, too, you researched and saw so many articles and videos that said, just do it. You know, don't judge it and don't be afraid of it. Just do it and express yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I mean, it was very similar to when I was very young. I mean, when I started the company, I was 23 years old. And mm-hmm. and I had the vim and vigor of a 23-year-old guy. And I worked incessantly and never, ever stopped at it. And I've done the same thing with this. But it's easy when you love it.
Yeah. And I think you can overcome some of those challenges thinking when you were just talking about you starting the company at 23. I'll never forget a story that you told me. You were a great hairdresser, but for you too, it did not come easy. And I remember you saying you used to drink a bottle of Maalox before you would go into the salon because you were so not yeah. afraid, but you were, you know, it was, you know, doing every single guest is different and starting out in what you were doing behind the chair did not come easy. Like
really?
Some people would just think, oh my yeah. God, Charles Penzone, it came so easy. He started cutting hair and just was overnight success. Well, but that would inspire a lot of young professionals that you have to do it even if it's challenging and it doesn't come easy if
well,
you love it that
my,
much.
My first job after I was fired from the very first job, I was lucky enough to fall into a great salon that was just filled with terrific designers. And that was a motivation. I mean, I was so nervous to just be between two or three really great hairdressers.
Yeah.
And I was a nervous wreck because I barely could comb my own hair. And that was one of the motivations to begin our training program that we've had since we started in 1969. I mean, in 1969, we trained our new people 18 months before we turned them loose on clients. After they'd been licensed and experienced, we still kept them for 18 months. We've gotten it down to closer to a year now for training them because it's a lot of pressure to take a young, creative person and put them between some creative geniuses. I mean, it's very, very, it's a lot of pressure. Yeah. So that was a motivation.
Yeah, but that's, I think, you know, great insight to share with some young professionals, a young artist or even a young hair artist or a young, you know, not even young, but somebody that's trying to do a new hobby or try a new passion in their life. It's not going to be easy when you first get started. Even if you love it, you're going to, you know, have that fear a little bit. And it's not going to be easy. It's just taking those steps and starting it and continuing.
Yeah. And, you know, you and I have talked incessantly about the process itself. That the important part of all of this is not so much the finished product as it is the journey and the process with each picture.
Yes.
And you mentioned, you know, painting over a mistake and throwing a mistake away. You know, you have that luxury to be able to paint over your mistakes. And it's a life lesson. You know, I look at it as a life lesson. I've painted over a lot of mistakes in my life. And every time I paint a picture and I make a mistake, I think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you made a mistake. Yeah. Well, you look at the mistakes you've made.
Learn from it.
And you've learned from it.
Yeah.
And in your life.
Yeah.
And,
no mistake's bad because you learn so much when you fall down.
Yeah. Especially when you can just paint over your mistake.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it's always there. You know, another little, you know, it's always there underneath.
Yeah.
The painting that you paint over.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think
true.
For all of us, you know, all those mistakes are still with us. But if you can learn from it and grow from it and not look at it as a bad thing, you got to fall down to be able to get back up. And when you get back up, you're going to have more fire in your soul to do it even better or to learn from it.
Yeah. No one really gets hurt when you drip some paint on the canvas by accident, you know? Mm-hmm. So the mistakes that happen on canvas can easily be resolved and rectified. And that's a nice gift that you have when you do that.
But I like how you put it to life journey and life experience because I think that's so true. You know, learning from that and sharing that, you know, that experience of you had lots of mistakes that people would never even imagine in life and in business.
Yes.
But you learned from them. You got back up. You started over. You challenged yourself even though it was not easy and overcame that because you loved what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is absolutely true.
More silver linings in the journey of life.
Yes. I mean, think about this. I mean, today, the news of the test, I mean, the vaccine, I mean, that is a silver lining, you know?
What are you dreaming to create next?
Well, you know, I think one of the motivations, you know, at my age and with this company and children and grandchildren, I hope I can create things good enough that will withstand the test of time with people I love and care about. I'd love to create things that when I'm gone, the paintings are not. Mm. And, you know, my children and grandchildren will enjoy them. You will enjoy them. They'll still be in our locations maybe. And, you know, I would like to create things that are worthy of holding on to.
Aww.
And will send a sense of love to those people I just mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
And remind them of Papa or Dad.
Yeah.
yeah. or Chuck.
Yeah.
You
or
know,
Mr.
And,
or Mr. P.
Yeah, or Mr.
Yeah,
P.
Yeah, we had some great shout outs, you know, from our team when the Dublin picture just got hung yesterday. You know, they were so proud to stand in front of it and get a couple pictures. And I know you did have a great call from your granddaughter, Lily, that I know was so
special.
Yeah,
I mean, Lily, my granddaughter, Lily, you know, she's 16 now and she's painting. And she gave me a shout out and can't wait to paint in the studio with me. My daughter, you know, has pictures of mine, a picture hanging above her couch, and texted me the other day about two more. She goes, hey, can you send me a picture? She goes, can you pop something together here? And my son has even suggested something for his home. And,
so it feels so good to give that gift of art.
Yeah, but you know what? If someone just looks at it, you can tell if they're telling the truth or not. I mean, I've had a good instinct about people and how they convince you or don't convince you of their sincerity. Yeah. And when someone looks at it that you respect and says, God, that is really good. Especially if they're in the art community. And I've had several artists that I admire and respect say, yeah, this is just absolutely beautiful picture.
Yeah, it makes you feel good that they like it.
It makes your day. It absolutely makes your day.
Yeah.
So what I want to create next is something that when someone looks at it, it gives them a moment of joy. And I think that's more than enough. I'm not looking to make a living doing this. I'm looking to make people happy and hopefully be remembered by, it's kind of a legacy. Your painting is a legacy. And hopefully they'll stick around for a while and be enjoyed.
Yes. Well, I am just so looking forward to what you create next because I know it's going to be unbelievable. And I'm so, I mean, you're just getting started on this path of becoming this artist. And I know I would oftentimes call you my Picasso a long time ago. So seeing you step into this light of really finding this passion for art and creating, I'm excited, looking forward to, you know, all that you're going to create this next year and years to come. Thank you for listening to From the Outside In. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. For more information, you can follow me on Instagram at Debbie Penzone. I'm Debbie Penzone. You are exactly who you need to be.